On your knees! On your knees!
On your knees!
On your knees! On your knees! On your knees!
Former member of Parliament, an incredible patriot against the globalist tyranny, Andrew Bridgen, will be joining us when stations join us at 6 after in about 5 minutes. But this murder of this young student who had an upstanding background and just incredibly dignified family, the way they responded to this, has really awoken the people of the UK even more to the ongoing just horrible invasion of all these third world populations who are all allowed to have their own deadly ceremonial weapons, but nobody else can have a knife because you're an evil indigenous person. The ethnic daggers of Britain's major ethnic groups, they can have all the daggers and all the weapons. And in fact, we've got video, countless videos. We can B-roll it right now. I sent you a new one today where there's just thousands of men running around with huge daggers and swords, kill, kill, threatening everyone. And the Muslims see you walking your dog, they'll come beat you up, the police will do nothing. And when they stab you, well, they're just going to hold you down and handcuff you till you die. And, of course, you have this famous case where they just got, you know, no jail time, nothing, everything dropped. And these Muslim men just beat up. I mean, we're talking Mike Tyson level. I mean, the guy can throw a punch. We're talking knocking the living hell out of these police women. And they said, you're a Muslim with a big-ass beard, look like bin Laden? If you look like bin Laden, you can beat up police for no reason. You can groom and rape girls. Baby, you got the keys to the city and a get-out-of-jail-free card. Knock them dead, baby. I'm just waiting for them to start flying the hammer and sickle, or the Islamic crescent they already do with calls to prayer, in the UK. So Henry Novak, you know, you get tied up while you beg and, you know, die for 30 minutes and they wait till you're dead to put you in an ambulance. But the Manchester airport attackers, zero, baby. Good job. Beat up a bunch of police for no reason. You're doing good. And then you got Keir Starmer up there criticizing people protesting Henry Novak's murder and attacking people that he says attacked the police, but we showed you a bunch of videos. They attacked the peaceful protesters. Here is Keir Starmer.
But no matter the pain we feel, there is no justification for more violence and disorder. Yeah. The attacks directed towards police officers in Southampton last night were disgraceful and completely unacceptable. Yeah. This is a time for serious work, not rage. Yeah. And let me be clear, we will ensure anyone found engaging in disorder meets the full force of the law, as we have done before.
Get ready for the mass arrest. But if you want to run around and you're part of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different ethnic groups from around the world, why, if it's your heritage, you can, you know, Saxon means man with a knife, but you know, of course, you've got the Scots and everybody with their knives, but you can't have a knife because you're an evil white devil. You can't defend yourself. Now, the Muslims' favorite thing is to stab babies in baby carriages. Every day I see a few reports out of Sweden, Germany, the UK. I mean, there's something about a baby that these Islamists just want to stab it immediately. Just as fast as they can. Oh, it's a baby. And there they are. There's Henry chained down. I mean, this photo tells a billion words with the devil's claws and blue gloves completing their work, conquering the West with the Kalergi plan. All right, I'm going to settle down now. And when we return, we have our special guest. I can't think of a better member of the UK Parliament with his record just exposing it all. Andrew Bridgen. Straight ahead to cover the waterfront on this live Wednesday transmission. Have you done your part? Are you sharing the live feeds on X and Roll Auctions and Rumble? I need you. You need me. We're in this together. Take action, Paul Revere's now. Share the link, rumble.com/Auction Show Live.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Hour number two of this live Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026 transmission. And we have a very special guest joining us for the balance of the hour, Andrew Bridgen. Andrew Bridgen is a four-term British politician who served as the Member of Parliament for Northwest Lancashire from 2010 to 2024.
Leicestershire.
Every time I get that wrong. West Leicestershire. Did I get it right that time? A vocal advocate for the rights of the vaccine injured. Andrew became a prominent figure in challenging the UK government's narrative on COVID-19 vaccines. Andrew's political career saw him win by an overwhelming majority of the vote in succeeding general elections, before facing a dramatic drop in 2024 general election as an independent candidate. His expulsion from the Conservative Party in 2023 marked a turning point. In a time when political opposition to government policies on COVID-19 vaccines were rare, Andrew stood out as a thorn in the side of the Conservative Party and a true advocate for transparency, accountability, and the health of the public. Andrew's full political platform focuses on five realms: enforcing immigration law, call time of the insanity of net zero, the whole carbon tax system, protect children from militant transgenderism, fighting the WHO power grab, exposing the vaccine harm, and of course the human trafficking operations, the wars now, all of it. So Andrew, thank you so much for joining us here today. People can find you at Bridgen, A-B-R-I-D-G-E-N, on X and YouTube, Real Andrew Bridgen. Everybody should check you out there and on your website, which is easily accessible at andrewbridgen.uk. So that's the intro here. I don't know where to start because there's so much you're doing, so much going on, so much happening. But I think maybe the best place, if you agree, is Restore Britain, which is, I think, way more hardcore than Nigel Farage and what UKIP has become and the betrayal of Boris Johnson. I'm not trying to start a fight with Farage, but I think you've been on before. I remember last year you agreed he's made a major turn the last few years. I'm not trying to just demonize him. It's just that I got some serious issues with him. And they should basically accept Islamification of the UK and things like that. But clearly, for me, I talked to in the UK in my own study, they say that Restore Britain and its leader and its movement that I know you're working with is obviously the real deal, exposing the human trafficking. You just had that exposure in Parliament. Now they've, I guess, voted again, if I'm correct, not to investigate. Just absolutely outrageous. That's probably the best place to start. And some listeners, not most of them, but some, will say, why do we care about the UK? Well, Because it's the same globalist system that's attacking the UK or Australia or Canada. And it'd be the same thing if Martians showed up and blew up Moscow or Paris. I'd be just as concerned. A, they're humans. I have empathy. And B, it means they're coming for Austin, Texas, and New York City and London next. So this is all a global system. So you need to think global but act local, and think local and fight globally. So, Andrew, that's my long intro. Congratulations on your great work. You've been totally vindicated. As you know, the UK is now admitting the shots didn't work, were poisonous, killed a bunch of people. They knew it. They now admit that here. Trump just banned 90% of childhood vaccines, essentially, saying they're off the recommended list, meaning they don't have liability protection. So you've been vindicated. I've been vindicated. But now we've got to get you and others who were punished and obviously cheated and removed back in as another big wave of liberty. And this fourth turning accelerates. This is the people's time. We're on the march. The bad guys are on the run. So, Andrew, let's give us an assessment of what's happening in the UK, and what you're saying is restore Britain, UK's last chance at peaceful revolution. Even Starmer admits the country's on the verge of violent revolution because of them. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, yes. The tired pantomime of UK politics of left and right, the blue and the red team, the Conservatives and the Labour Party, that soap opera was so tired that the last election they had to bring a new character in, and that was Reform with Nigel Farage. But it is still in the Uniparty, and if you want to guarantee that it is in the Uniparty, the fact, the mere fact, that the same mainstream media that wouldn't talk about the net zero hoax or the vaccine harms and excess deaths or the truth about what's going on in Ukraine, they're all proclaiming that, you know, Nigel's probably going to be the next prime minister with his party Reform. Rupert Lowe was elected as a Reform MP back in 2024, and I knew him before he was an MP, when I was an MP and he wasn't. And he's a good guy. I did warn him and Ben Habib that neither of them would last long with Nigel Farage. I'm afraid Nigel is fully in the establishment. He was taken in a long time ago. And if you want any proof of that, Alex, in 2023, when I stood up in Parliament and stopped our government from vaccinating the infants and babies with the toxic COVID jabs, I wanted allies. I'd been round all the MPs. Many of them were vaccine harmed themselves, but still wouldn't stand up and protect the children. And I was desperate enough that I actually did go to see Nigel Farage and Aaron Banks. And we met in a pub in Mayfair. I gave him an hour and a half of my time and my brief on what was going on with the vaccines, the vaccine harms, the excess deaths. And at the end of it, Nigel was very clear. He turned around to me and said, Andrew, I'm not going to talk about the vaccines. And if you know what's good for you, you won't either. He knew those vaccines were going to kill people, and he wasn't willing to say anything. He also then said to me that, Andrew, the problem with you is you're always looking for a fight. Well, I assured him that wasn't the truth, but I said, unlike you, Nigel, when a fight's got to be had, I will not be running away from it. That's not leadership, Alex. There's another word for that, and that does not qualify someone for being prime minister of our country at a time the UK and a lot of so-called democracies around the world. We're in the last chance saloon at 5 minutes to closing time. We can't afford any more mistakes. Restore Britain and Rupert Lowe is the real deal. And we'll be told repeatedly that, deporting illegal migrants or foreign criminals who commit crimes in our country after they've served their prison sentences, that is an extreme position, and we're called far right.
And I want to go over...
Alex, the extreme position is what our government does, which is invites people over who are illegal, we don't know anything about them, puts them up in a four-star hotel, gives them food, clothing and spending money, phones, internet, and then moves them to the very front of the queue for our health services in the UK ahead of people who've paid taxes all their life. That is an extreme position, and that's why we've got a big problem in this country.
No, I totally agree, and I remember watching you, one before you were a guest. I think we even had you when you were in Parliament on. We had you four or five times, if I remember correctly, but you've been very gracious, not just my show. You work so hard, And I remember watching him in Parliament and saying, man, that's like the best guy they've got there, and saying that guy ought to be, you know, the leader of UKIP. I knew you were in the Conservative Party. And not to spend too much time on Farage, we're getting the big picture, how the exact same attacks, the same formula is used across the West by NGOs, letting the invader migrants kill, murder, rape, do whatever they want. Now all the, you know, sex crimes that we already knew about being totally confirmed, being protected by Keir Starmer. What's the end game here? How do we stop it? But back to Farage.
Well, they want civil disturbance because following the false flag that was 9/11, we had 7/7, and Tony Blair on the back of that got through something called the Civil Contingencies Act, which in the event of a war or civil disturbance would allow Keir Starmer's government effectively to have martial law, and also allow him to arrest a lot of people, and also scarily to delay elections. And that also would suit at the moment the deplorably unpopular Emmanuel Macron in France, and also Merz in Germany. So they're all heading that direction. We're moving away from elections. We're moving away to with very, very unpopular governments across Europe. And Starmer is the most unpopular prime minister we've ever had in living memory in the UK. And what we've got now is a by-election which has been created in Manchester in a supposedly safe Labour seat of Makerfield. The incumbent MP, who's only been there since 2024, Josh Simmons, has stood down, and the mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, is standing in that seat, trying to get back into Parliament to replace the man on your screen there, Keir Starmer, and become Prime Minister of the UK. Restore Britain a standing, and within a poll within a few days, we were running third in that seat. The party's only legally 3 months old. It's got more members nationally than the Conservative Party, which is 192 years old. And the BBC and the establishment are closing down all debate around the policies of Restore. Indeed, the sort of showcase debate, political debate, is called Question Time. They're having one for all the parties at the Makerfield by-election. But unfortunately, as you can imagine, they've deplatformed Restore Britain. We're not allowed to have a representative on that program, even though we're polling third.
Well, you read my mind. So for people that don't understand UK politics, and I study it some, and it's complex, and I don't quite understand it all, because parliamentary systems are having the rules changed all the time. How has he manipulated it to be the most unpopular prime minister probably in history? The numbers I've seen, like 15% or something. How does he stay in power? And then clearly they do bring in these third world Stone Age populations and then hype them up full of, you know, anti-Western hate as a destabilizing effect that they can then activate, you know, because the Muslims and others vote like, you know, 99% in a block, as you know. How are they able to do this? And then what is the way out of this? Because obviously we now know with Nigel Farage bringing in Boris Johnson, it was all a betrayal, all designed to fail. I was interviewing Farage, you know, 20 years ago, he would come on all very, very friendly and, oh, thank you. Half the doors I knock on are listeners. You're really helping UKIP. Thank you. And then just as an aside, I had dinner with him one time with Roger Stone. And I guess Bernard Kirk was there, too, at the RNC in 2016. We're in this Italian restaurant. And he comes in and was going to meet Roger. And I just sat there and watched him talk. And the way he acted at that dinner, compared to what he acts like on TV, was very sinister, not fake gangster, like tough guy, but very dark and very, made my skin crawl. And you know, even after that, I always had a weird feeling about him, and we started to really see how bad he was. I think it's important that we just mark, like you do in a river or a lake, some rocks with a buoy, that it's a danger area. I mean, how bad is Nigel Farage? We know he's been angling to be prime minister, and are they planning, when there's a big move, you know, waking up to the left over there in Labour? Clearly, it looks like he's being positioned to be the Judas goat to then make sure that real conservatives or populists don't get in there. So that's why I'm spending time on him as being positioned by the establishment as the next Keir Starmer.
Well, we now find out he was given £5 million to come back and stand at the 24 election because the previous leader of reform, Richard Tice, he just didn't have the charisma to affect the vote enough, to reduce the Conservative vote enough to reform, to allow Keir Starmer to get in with a massive majority with only 32% of the popular vote. And that was all engineered, and Nigel played his part to give Keir Starmer two-thirds of all the members of Parliament, a massive majority, 150 MP majority in the House of Commons, but with only 32% of the popular vote on a 60% turnout. Now, in record time, the Labour government have destroyed their support base, following on from the Conservatives doing so in the previous Parliament. And people are now thinking, well, it's going to be Reform's turn. Well, when Reform betray the people, if they do win, and I'll be working very hard to make sure they don't, and I'll expose them, when they betray the people after 2028 or 2029, then they'll come, the globalists will come and say, well, we better have a one world government because all your governments are rubbish. But they were all engineered to be rubbish. They were all betraying. I don't think Nigel Farage will ever be prime minister, even if Reform won a general election. I don't think he's got the guts for it. He wants to be popular. He will claim that he's got ill health and he will stand down immediately after that election. I mean, I'm afraid he will introduce a man called Mohammed Zia Youssef, who's his sidekick, and we'll have our first Muslim prime minister of the UK.
Wow, that's the numbers I see. So obviously, from everything I've seen, Restore Britain is the real deal. And basically, the whole new group headed up by Farage is the doppelganger. So tell us about Restore. Tell us about its leader. Tell us about what's happening there.
Well, Rupert was in Restore. And Nigel has always kept the grass mown very short around himself wherever he's been in politics. Rupert's 68 years old, and there was an allegation made by Mohammed Zia Youssef that Rupert had threatened to kill him. Mohammed Zia Youssef is 38 years old. They then sent the police around to Rupert's house and took his shotguns away, raided his house at 5 o'clock in the morning. Despite those charges all being dropped and the allegations all being dropped, Rupert's barrister has been unable to get the police statement that they took from Mohammed Zia Youssef, making these false allegations so that he can take action against him. We now actually believe that there could well have never been a signed police statement making the allegations that led to Rupert being raided, his house being raided, and his legally held weapons being taken away from him at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you can imagine the effect of that on his wife and his daughter in the house. We are having two-tier policing. It's clear we're having two-tier justice, and the justice system is the establishment, and it's favouring Reform against Restore. But what we're seeing now is what is in the establishment, in the polling, despite the fact that we're running third initially, before we'd hardly delivered a leaflet in Makerfield, the polling now has stopped. They're not doing any more polling after we polled 7% before we'd hardly delivered a leaflet. And we've had more activists on the ground in Makerfield than all the other parties put together. Makerfield's an interesting place. It's 97% white British, so very few ethnic minorities. Interestingly, Alex, it voted 66% to leave the European Union at the referendum. And it's also a place where 49% of the people who could vote didn't vote at the last general election. So they're already disillusioned with the existing parties. This is very fertile ground for Restore Britain. Where we've stood, we've seen that the turnout has gone up because we're bringing people back to politics who've become completely disillusioned with the Uni Party. And they always say, oh, you're splitting the votes on the right, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the disillusionment, and I understand the disillusionment with politics in the UK and across the world, in the UK, you could win a general election without taking a vote off any of the existing parties, merely by getting those people already disillusioned with the political party and the political system to come back and cast a vote. And that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. So obviously getting into the nuts and bolts of a populist nationalist movement taking the UK back is not the sexiest thing to open with, but it is, I think, overall the most important thing, is it's the keys to real reform. So we're talking all about Restore Britain and getting behind that.
But of course, when we're having polling now, national polls, they're not even prompting for Restore Britain. So they're saying, oh, we've only got 3%. But those people have actually got to prompt themselves. So instead of asking which party you're going to vote for, are you voting Conservative, Labour, Restore, Reform? They're not mentioning Restore. So you have to mention Restore yourself if you're on the polling.
And that tells you everything you know. And it's Restore.
That tells you all you need to know. They're looking to depress our numbers.
But look at Restore is bringing out the Islamic rape gangs and getting that into Parliament and everything else. Now, we're going to go to break here in a few minutes. I want to segue into what's currently happening with the murder of this young man and the police sitting there while he bleeds to death. And now the police attacking peaceful protesters and Starmer attacking them. But in the first few minutes, give me your take and your breakdown on what happened to Henry Novak.
Well, he's a student, 18 years old. He's the first member of his family ever to go to university. He was at Southampton University. He's a finance undergraduate, accounting and finance. He'd been to a meeting of his football club, the people he played football with at university. He had had a drink, but he was not drunk. He was under the drink driving limit, and he wasn't driving. He was walking home. He had an altercation with a Sikh young man called Vikram Dagwa and Digwa, and there was an altercation. I think he saw that Henry saw this knife being carried, and he said, "Are you a bad man?" And this guy said, "Yes, I am a bad man," and then stabbed him in the chest. He stabbed Henry 5 times. I think 4 of those wounds are in his back or the back of his legs, which would indicate that Henry was running away. They realized then, obviously, that they'd potentially murdered this young man. He was still alive, but he was bleeding out. The murderer's family then came. His mother took the murder weapon away and hid it. His father and his brother called the police. His brother called the police, and they made the false allegation that Henry Novak had racially abused their family. And the police arrived, 3 police arrived, and they didn't respond to the wounds on Henry. They handcuffed him behind his back, laid him on the floor, and he drowned in his own blood. And it turned out that he'd actually been injured. He was mortally wounded an hour before he died, and the family of his murderer, they rang the police. They didn't ring an ambulance. They could have saved him. Vikram, he was actually condemned to life imprisonment this week, minimum of 21 years. I think the mother is going to be going to prison for moving hiding the murder weapon. But surely his father and his brother played their part in the deceit of the racist attack, which the judge described as disgusting, wicked lies about
Henry. And it's certainly a tragedy, and it's woken up the UK. We'll come back and talk more about this and what's coming next with our special guest, Andrew Bridges.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery
rounds. But then you can roll over the financial instruments too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment for the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You can sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real. And it's time for humanity to stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The next chapter in the war for humanity's minds begins now at alexjoneslive.com.
Come on!
Recording him, recording him.
Come on, man, please.
You got a big problem, mate.
You got a big problem.
Not nice, not nice, not nice.
Not nice.
That's Henry Nowak's convicted killer brandishing his knife and threatening people, calling videos. So that's the type of folks you've got. Remember, somebody from Ireland, Scotland, England, you're not allowed to go around with a knife. And I think everybody should be able to, because that's what keeps criminals, you know, in check. But if you're all these foreign invader groups, you can. Unbelievable. And so a former member of the UK Parliament, an incredible patriot, super well-informed, Andrew Bridgen is our guest. Check him out at A. Bridgen on X and YouTube, Real Andrew Bridgen, and abridgen.uk. Bridgen is B-R-I-D-G-E-N. All right, I want to get into global, the wars, your take on that, the human trafficking, the Ukraine war, You've been instrumental in exposing the human trafficking out of Ukraine, the whole pedophile rings. Years ago, the Muslim grooming gangs now finally all coming out. But it all ties together, finishing up with the UK before we get to the bigger picture. They fought They fought so hard with Keir Starmer, you know, for 15 years being the head magistrate covering all that up to keep it suppressed. They can't be happy now that despite all their efforts to censor and arrest, what is it, total 30,000 people for speech the last few years and turn the UK into the new Soviet Union, that it's not working. It's backfiring. So please continue. Sorry.
Well, Rupert Lowe, the leader of Restore Britain, he had a debate which he led on the rape gangs, the Muslim rape gangs report, and he's going to be producing his independent report, which the public raised £650,000 to carry out, which the government and Reform Britain both didn't want to happen. And it's harrowing testimony from the victims. And we're thinking there's got to be between somewhere between 250,000 and 500,000, half a million underage working class white girls who have been abused over the last few decades, with all the establishment turning a blind eye. And it's basically in every town across the land. That's why Rupert is cancelled by the mainstream media. That's why he's attacked by the establishment. Just as I spoke out about the vaccines, Rupert's speaking out about the other things they don't want to talk about, like the Muslim grooming gangs scandal. And that's why you get cancelled in the UK. And as I said at the Unite the Kingdom rally, where Tommy Robinson let me speak first in front of a crowd of, well, with the online audience, over a million in Parliament Square, we're currently in a situation where if you do the right thing and tell the truth and warn the public and try and protect the public interest as a public servant, you are cancelled, destroyed, your career is destroyed, you're financially attacked. If you're willing to go along with the lies and the hate and the harm and the false narratives, you can go right to the top. Alex, that is not a sustainable way forward for any society to move forward, and that's what we've got to make fundamental changes. Because,
well, I totally agree.
We're going in the wrong direction.
So give people an understanding of why this is happening. It's obviously not just the Muslims, the Pakistanis that have this deeply in their culture, but it goes all the way up with Jimmy Savile and the Royals. It's come out countless times, and the UN and all these other big agencies and groups caught running huge human trafficking. But how many times has Parliament voted, including recently, to block investigations in to the 250,000 to 500,000 girls, some of them murdered? I mean, it's just dog cages being raped by dogs. This is all confirmed. And then you have the government actively suppressing, shutting it down. It's not just the Muslims, though. You have the orphanages delivering the children, using the Muslims as go-betweens. I mean, this is industrial scale from my own understanding, but you're a real expert who's at the sources. You're over there at Ground Zero, and what you've been told by MI5, MI6, others, just how serious this is. This is just raping them. A lot of times they're done, then they harvest the organs and kill them, correct?
That's correct. And you think that the MI5, MI6, GCHQ special branch, they don't know that this has been going on for decades in the UK? Of course they know. And if they didn't know, then they should all lose their jobs. But the fact is that the establishment has gone along with it. And if we investigate the Muslim rape gangs, that will lead on to people in very, very high positions of power, up to the royal family and senior politicians. I'm afraid that paedophilia and child trafficking money, there's more money in child trafficking than there is in drugs, because very sadly, they can only sell the drugs once. They sell those small children many, many times a day. It's appalling. And that is the glue that holds the elites together. We've seen that from the Epstein files, the bit we've seen of it, and we haven't seen all of it by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think we've seen the worst of it. But we're currently in a situation where probably your Department of Justice has got 10,000 videos seized from various of Epstein's premises, where you've got very powerful, very rich people raping children and worse. And the question is, Alex, you know, as Thomas Massey push forward, tried to get transparency about this, and now he's not going to be in Congress anymore. Is that the sort of society that you want to live in America? It's not the sort of society I want to live in the UK. No one should have to live in. We should all be under the same law. And that we come back to Henry Novak and his two-tier policing. The last thing that he said before he died to the police was, "I can't breathe." That reminds us all of something, doesn't it? I can't breathe.
It's just amazing. And the good news is we're finding out how horrible this is. The bad news is the bad guys, as you said, whether it's the U.S., Canada, Australia, Europe, the U.K., their answer, as tyrants always, is just a crackdown, build a digital control grid, bring in a cashless society, digital IDs, and then persecute the good guys. They're definitely trying it, but the awakening is so big, I don't see it succeeding. It's going to be a rough road we're going down here, but as you said, if you read my mind, I was about to say, how has the Epstein files, just the millions we got, vindicated you and so many others? I mean, there is cannibalism, murder, torture, sex slavery, and it all hit the news, and it's confirmed, and it's also in the original WikiLeaks, even some of the same people. John Podesta, hey, we got a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, and 9-year-old. They're well-trained, being delivered to this woodland place with you and the heated pool. They're well-trained, but remember, they're still kids, but they're getting ready to entertain you, okay? And then disposing of what's left of the jerky and transporting, and you know, I mean, the people have to understand that these are the most depraved people. The reason they do this horrible stuff politically is because they've set up a cult, like MS-13 is confirmed, to make a higher-level member murder a little girl in a satanic ceremony. That, in the old Italian mafia, you just had to, you know, kill a few people for the mob, but they wouldn't kill kids. Now it's a synthesis of evil all over the world where it's one old mafia dies and a new one comes in even worse, and so it's a process of people either get better or they get worse, and that's what you see historically is elites always, this is in all the ancient histories of every culture that goes sideways and then downhill, turns into a giant child-raping devil worship operation. I mean, the whole Old Testament, and they now dug this up all over the Middle East, was these cultures went crazy and started eating their kids and burning them in front of
idols. I think they're Luciferians. It is some sort of child death cult, and there's no way back for these people, quite honestly. I don't see, I'm all out of mercy for them. And I don't care how much money and how much positions of power you've got. They've got to be held to account. And when we can get to that, then we're going to start really turning things around. In the meantime, we've got to stop the rise of this digital ID. As long as we hold off the digital ID, the elites can't bring in Agenda 2030. They will not be able to subjugate us. And the longer we hang on, the truth is going to come out.
And that's where I was going next. So talk, you've been a stalwart fighting that. Explain the control grid, Agenda 2030. This is official global WFUN plan. Explain this is the ball and chain. Just like in the real world when the pedophile grabs the kid and chains him in the dungeon, this is chaining us down. Unified, planetary, UN, Bill Gates behind it. Tony Blair pushing it. Keir Starmer pushing it. We are all fighting the same rollout right now.
Well, once they've rolled it out in China, so digital ID linked to a digital currency and the giving the government absolute full knowledge of every transaction and everywhere you go and who you speak to, what you're doing online, what you're viewing. And any time that you're not on the approved narrative, the government will be able to take steps against you to, you know, stop you spending your money, freeze your digital currency. With these 15-minute cities, if they've got digital currency, they don't need to build walls, Alex. They'll just be able to program your bank card so it won't work 15 minutes away from where you've told you've got to live. And I've spoken at many rallies across the UK and across Europe against digital ID. And I said, if you say yes to digital ID, you'll never be able to say no to your government ever again. And that's where they want us. So we will be completely controllable. And then it won't matter what we say, what we think, because we won't be able to do anything. I mean, I myself was invited to attend a police station only a month or so ago over one of these famous, malicious communications on X. It was what someone would have said was a mean tweet, and they were going to try and make me one of the 12,000 people who were criminally convicted of social media posts. But unfortunately, you know, I've got better for the police. I've got better legal representation than most people who would have a duty solicitor who would tell them to plead guilty because they did it. And they would end up going to prison for a tweet, which is...
Well, let's stop right there. That's major news. You're a very respected, multi-term member of your parliament. You're well-respected. You're well-known. And even somebody that's powerful like you and loved by the people, they had you come to the police station. What was the evil thing you said?
I reposted a meme about a character called Amelia that was created by the Home Office to scare children into the government narrative that all migration is good. And it's been picked up by those who have a different view and turned against the government. Well, it was always going to happen with AI. So it was a meme about a character called Amelia. And I was invited to go to the police station. Otherwise, they were going to come and arrest me. And I was interviewed under caution for 20 odd minutes. To be honest, the police I spoke with in Leicestershire, I didn't get the impression they had a great appetite, but they were being told from above they'd got to put the pressure on me. And that is not the that's the second time that I've been picked up by the police since I've not been a member of parliament. You know, the UK is out of control at the moment, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. As you said, Alex, we're all going to be in for a bumpy ride.
Well, I want to find the evil supposed meme that you put out, but here's one where they've taken what the state's putting out, the evil white kid controlled by his mother, being taught that black kids are evil, bullying him, when the statistics show it's even worse than 20 to 1 in your country like it is here, black on white crime. And then, you know, here's the reality, and it's not just he's saying something mean, he's got a knife and going to stab him. And again,
and I will tell you, Alex, that the UK is probably the least racist country in the world because of our history of being all over the world. And there are more British, more English people in other people's countries than any other country, a bigger proportion of our
citizens.
The
world language is English because of that, and the abolitionist and the UK and England spent the equivalent of trillions of dollars today in 20 years of wars to officially, is credited with ending slavery basically worldwide, except in some Arab states in Africa. Okay? So, I mean, England ended slavery, but because of the brainwashing in schools, everyone thinks you're slave masters.
And you know where the word slave comes from? It's a Slav. They were slaved by the Greeks, the Romans, the Vikings. And the last public auction in Istanbul or Constantinople of Slavic women slaves, public auction, was 1908. The last public auction.
Well, you know why the Moors took over Spain for 700 years was mainly to get white slave women. I mean, so the idea that whites invented slavery is just preposterous. No, it's actually whites in England that ended it.
we did end it when it cost us our blood and our treasure. We lost about 1,700 sailors patrolling the east and west coast of Africa to end the transatlantic slave trade.
Well, I haven't reviewed the history in years, but didn't it trigger a bunch of wars too? I mean, not just the sailors. It was a lot bigger than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, we ended up having to have a war with Brazil to stop them carrying on with slavery. You wouldn't think that the way that we're treated. I mean, we've got ludicrous politicians on the left of the UK suggesting that we now pay reparations to African countries for the slavery in the past, when we were the ones that stopped it. So we'd be paying reparations for people who weren't slaves from people who never had slaves, effectively to countries who did have slaves.
It's just unbelievable, but that's what the murder of history is all about. So looking at the Iran war, looking at what's been happening with Trump, and really when he started really changing about a year ago is my view. I mean, if you agree with that, what do you think changed? What is your take on the Ukraine-Russia war and just larger geopolitical issues?
Well, it was shocking. Last week, Last week, Angela Merkel, the former long-term Chancellor of Germany, she was in an interview and she let it slip that she thinks they'll still be fighting, Ukraine and Russia will still be fighting that war in 10 years' time. That's what they're planning for. That's what I've heard. They want it to keep it going. The military-industrial complex are cashing in. And, they're having an opportunity to test all battlefield weapons real time, and they're loving it. But, I mean, it is actually NATO that's fighting Russia. It's not Ukraine. When we have been firing, UK have been firing Storm Shadow missiles for 2.5 years with UK technicians out of our missiles, out of Ukraine, into Russia. And the French have been doing the same with the scalps, and you Americans, you've been doing the same with your attackums. I mean, how can you say we're not at war with Russia? If Russia occupied or had a deal with Scotland and they were put their missiles into Scotland and were firing them at London, I think we'd say we're at war with Russia. We're in exactly that situation. Russia do not want to have a war with Europe or NATO. They've only got 144 million people. The combined population of NATO countries is 975 million. Russia's already the largest country in the world. They've got between $70 and $90 trillion of identified natural resources. That's the reason that BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street want NATO to engage in a war with Russia.
And let me just stop you and back you up, because I did see where the former German chancellor said, I think we'll be there in 10 years. But if you go back to the different economic ministers and a bunch of the military leaders, including the military leader of NATO, we pulled this up in the last 4+ years, including Macron and his finance minister have said, including the deputy head of the unelected EU commission, we played the clips here, they say it on TV. They said, our new business model is a wartime economy. It'll last 20 or 30 years. We will win the conventional war. We don't think Russia will ever go nuclear. And then we will break Russia up in 5 parts. That is Napoleonic. It's Hitlerian. And now they're back again saying it. And so, and I agree with you, we've got 900 million people. And
Alex, we've done all this before. In 1991, when we told the Russians or the Soviet Union, let us have East Germany and let us reunify Germany. We'll never move EU and NATO an inch east of there. We've moved 1,000 miles since. What did we end up with in East Germany? We ended up with a lot of old Soviet weapons, enormous. They were sent to Yugoslavia in 1991. That's what created the war in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a competitor organization to the European Union and NATO. We destroyed those countries. And then we picked apart and took what we wanted. We balkanized them in the Balkans. So we took Croatia and Slovenia into NATO and the EU pretty quickly. We've had Montenegro since, and we blame the Serbs for it. The EU and NATO, we created that war in the Balkans. And if you remember, we bombed Belgrade for many, many months. There's no way they could fight back against us. We're not wearing the white hats in this, Alex, and I'm ashamed of what part we've played in wars in Europe at the moment.
I was about to say the England led the world in ending slavery, but when it comes to the Northern Group, the new alliance in NATO, Keir Starmer is the kingpin, and we know much of this is being coordinated. At least the main policies of Ukraine, the U.S. is supplying the intelligence.
Well, of course, we've also got our head of MI6 now. Very recently, Blaise Metrovelli, her grandfather was Ukrainian, and he fought for Hitler in the Galician division of the SS. That's now his granddaughter is the head of MI6. Do you think we want peace? Do you think we're going to have peace with Russia? I don't. Not while she's there.
Well, what's incredible is the deputy under Trudeau. Her grandfather was like the head Nazi propagandist in Ukraine, and then they give a salute to an SS officer that actually ran mass murders. And he fought Russia in World War II, and they all clap. It's like, yeah, they were on our side in World War II.
Russia was on our side, Alex.
Yeah.
Russia took 70% of the Nazis. We wouldn't have been able to invade on D-Day and the Normandy beaches if Russia weren't taking the main brunt. And they lost 26 million of the one in seven Russians died in the Second World War. One every seventh Russian.
Yeah, for people that don't know, just because there's only 180 million or whatever Russians, nobody in Europe's going to want to go to war. No matter how many robots they've got, it's still got to be people on the ground. And the fact that the EU has said in policy reports that they admit they started it, long-term plans going back to Serbia, they brag about it. And then you look at the EU commissioners, none of them ever been in the military. They don't even study it. And they're literally...
Well, von der Leyen was asked, would you let your children go in the military? And she laughed and said, of course not. That's because, you see, wars feed the rich and they bury the poor. That's what happens. The Danish prime minister, female prime minister, she actually said last year that for us now, peace is more dangerous than war in the Ukraine. I mean, we're in madness, absolute madness in Europe. And Ursula von der Leyen and Kalla Kallas, her deputy leader, they are determined to get us into a war.
Well, that's where I was going. You read my mind. Napoleon was a military genius. Hitler was a war hero. Not telling you he's a good guy, but he had Iron Cross first class. That's Congressional Medal of Honor and a couple other Iron Crosses. So I listened to him. It was like Audie Murphy or something. When it came to being a badass, they miscalculated Russia. I look at the EU people and their curricula vitae, they're idiots. And you hear what they say militarily, they don't know what they're even talking about. I mean, this has disaster written all over it.
Well, Russia is the largest country in the world. It is many, many times larger than Europe. And anyone who invades Russia has got to fight the country as well as the people. And the Russians don't give up, and they will take horrendous casualties, and they carry on fighting.
Well, Putin's showed incredible restraint so far, hasn't he?
He has, because he's a very clever man, and he has to. You know, you have to remember that our national sport in England, unfortunately, is football. Do you know what it is in Russia? What's the national sport, Alex?
I forget.
It's chess.
That's right.
It's chess. Yeah, and. And he has to play that game because BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, I can think of $90 trillion of reasons why they want us to get into a war with Russia and get access to those resources.
Andrew Bridgen, we have a two-minute break. Do 5 more minutes and let you go, and we'll be able to finish up on what we do to stop this and a few other points we need to hit, like stopping net zero. And then I've got a very special report on Ukraine. Powerful information after he leaves us, and so much more. Back in 2 minutes.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase 2 for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.